So before we open up the Bible, let's just spend a moment in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you that we can just spend these few minutes thinking of you, looking at your word and what it has to say to us, and learning from you. And Lord, I just pray that you would use your words this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to be receptive to you. Lord, still our minds, still our hearts, that we can hear from you. And Lord, speak your words deep into our hearts, that we can grow closer to you and become more like your Son, Jesus, Lord. Amen. So we're gonna open up Judges chapter 16, and we're gonna start reading at verse 4. After this, Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him, and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where you get where your great strength lies, and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with a web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you've not told me where your great strength lies." And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his deep sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So just a reminder of where we are in the story of the Bible, for those of you who might not know where Judges sits in the overall story. The Israelites have been enslaved in Egypt, And God has set them free. They've spent their time wandering through the desert. And eventually they've come to live in the promised land that God has given them. And then it comes to this story of Judges, where there's this cycle that goes on over and over again. Then we see it where they turn their backs on God. God gives them into the hands of another nation. And then he raises up a leader to save them from what's going on around them, bring them back to him. And we're nearing the end of that cycle now, as we see Samson. There's been 40 years of Philistine oppression as it comes to the start of the story of Samson. And back in chapter 14, back in the earlier chapters, chapter 13 even, we see the story of Samson beginning. And it's the promise there to his father and his mother, a barren woman, that this son is going to be born to them, who's going to be the judge, who's going to be raised up and chosen as the man to save Israel. And even before he's born, God says to his mother, this child that's going to be born to you is going to be a Nazarite. You might have noticed that word, that phrase in there, as Samson was talking to Delilah in the passage that we read. And this comes from Numbers chapter 6. And there's three kind of vows that are made by the Nazarites. And they were only ever in Numbers designed to be taken for a short time. Somebody was going to set themselves apart for God. They were going to stay away from any dead bodies. They were going to let their hair grow and not let anybody cut it during the time of their vow. And they were going to stay away from grapes or anything that had been made from the vine. So wine and strong drink. But as we see Samson, before he gets to Delilah and before he falls for Delilah, he's been around killing lots of Philistines in battle. He spent a lot of time with dead people. So he's already broken one of those. He has a wedding to a Philistine lady, and they have a great feast. And the way the feast is described, there's plenty of alcohol there. He's broken another one of the vows. So of these vows that had been made for him before his birth by God, the only thing left setting him apart for God of these Nazarite vows is his hair and the length of his hair and the fact that never has a razor touched his head. So here we come then to chapter 16 and verse 4. Samson has been married to a Philistine lady who was killed in retaliation for one of his burning of Philistine lands. Then he visits this prostitute in chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. And after another kind of sordid night and another time of destruction, he now falls for this lady, Delilah. The third lady that he falls for during his lifetime. And her name translates as worshipper or devotee. And that's how we see her. That's how he sees her, at least in this story. But it's not what matters to her. Samson is not what matters to her. All that matters to her, we see in the next verse, in verse 5. As the lords of the Philistines, there's probably five of them, judging by the number of cities that the Philistines had around them. So these lords of the Philistines, they come up to her and they want to get rid of Samson. He's become a national menace. He's absolutely terrorizing them, trying to clear them out to rescue the Israelites. And so they say to Delilah, find out how this man is so strong and how we can get rid of him, how we can humble him and bring him down. And we'll each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. It's not a nice round number, is it? It's not that even thousand. And that extra bit is just to show how generous this offer is to Delilah, how much they want to get rid of Samson. 1,100 pieces of silver, that's hundreds of thousands of euros that they're offering each to give to Delilah for the information on how to get rid of Samson. Any affection, any devotion, any worship that she has for Samson is completely outweighed by this offer. And so, despite the risk to her of this strong man finding out what she's up to, she begins playing a game with Samson that carries on for the rest of the chapter. She plays this game of Samson. The Philistines are here. And the opening three rounds of the game are in verses 7 to 9, 10 to 12, and 13 to 14. As Samson teases her, he doesn't give in to telling her where his strength comes from. At first, he gets her to bind him with these nun-dried bowstrings. Well, nun-dried bowstrings were actually really weak. So he's really having her on in this first one. He's just going to snap them. I might even be able to snap them, and I'm not that strong. But notice that they're described when he snaps them in verse 8 as being like a thread of flax that snaps when it's touched in the fire. And if you just flick back to chapter 15 and verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord comes on Samson. His arms abound with ropes. And what happens to them? They become as flax that has caught fire. And he snaps them. So this game is already echoing back to previous passages of Samson's life. So first, we have these weak bowstrings. Then, the second round, some new ropes are used to wrap up Samson. And again, back in chapter 15 and verse 13, this is something the Philistines have already tried. Those ropes that he snaps that are like flax, they said to him, "No, we'll only bind you and give you into their hands. We'll surely not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes. And it's those ropes that in the power of the Lord, Samson snaps in the previous chapter. And then, in the third round of this game that Delilah is playing with Samson, as Samson is running out of ideas on how not to tell her where his strength comes from, he gets dangerously close to the truth, doesn't he? Verse 13, "You've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And Samson says, "Well, if you take these seven long locks of my hair that have never been touched by a razor or scissors and tie them into your loom, that'll do it." Now, looms were kind of upright and they had all kinds of different things going on. So how on earth Delilah ever managed to do this, I do not know. But he then breaks everything. Delilah must have been absolutely furious as her loom for doing her weaving is destroyed as Samson awakes from his sleep and pulls out the pin, the loom, the web, all her weaving equipment gone. And so now she tires of this game and she really lays it on thick to Samson. Verse 15, she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these three times. and you've not told me where your great strength lies." And she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him. His soul was vexed to death. We might translate that as being bored to death. Delilah has bored him by all the questioning, the urging, the just tell me. He's bored to death, vexed to death. And so what happens? He caves in. Now, if you flick back again to chapter 14 this time, and verses 15 to 17. Here, Samson has left a riddle, and he's basically told the Philistine people, if you don't answer this riddle, I'm gonna do stuff. I'm gonna come out and kill a load of people. And Samson's wife is a Philistine, and so they grab her and say to her in verse 15, "Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" And Samson's wife wept over him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You've put a riddle to my people, and you've not told me what it is." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell you?" She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her, because she pressed him hard. And then she told the riddle to her people. And Samson loses. And verse 17 of chapter 16. Samson has not learned his lesson. He lost when he told his wife the secret of the riddle. Yet what does he do as Delilah presses him, vexes him? He does exactly the same. He gives in, and he's going to lose. "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and like any other man." And now Delilah sees that he's pouring out the truth from the bottom of his heart. And as he says razor, the money bags light up in front of her eyes, and the game is over. She has to run off to the Philistines. They've got bored of waiting for Delilah to get the truth out of Samson. "Come up again," she says in verse 18, "for he's told me all his heart." And so the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. And she makes Samson sleep on her knee and has his hair cut off. And as she calls out in verse 20 for the final time, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson," he awakes from his sleep, thinking that he can go out like the other times, with the strength that the Lord has given him. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. The final of the Nazarite vows had been broken. The Nazarites were to be set apart for the Lord and to the Lord. But now Samson's separation is from the Lord. Now, we know from reading on that the Lord will use him again. We know if we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that one of the footnotes to that list of the great hall of faith that the writer doesn't have space for is Samson. We know the Lord will come back to him and use him again. The Spirit had been on him so many times, but now there is a separation. And Samson's strength has left him. And the Philistines, they humiliate him. He's humiliated them in battle, and now they take out his eyes. They put bronze shackles on him and take him down to the mill to do slave work. This leader who was set up and set apart to lead Israel, humiliated and humbled. But even as we leave this bit of the passage, even as Samson is grinding the mill in the prison as a slave, there's a little note of hope in verse 22. The hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This isn't something magical. This is not a magical power that Samson is being kind of having put upon him. This is God renewing the vow that he called Samson to before his birth. Because if you read through the rest of chapter 16, you'll see that the Lord has one more task for Samson to do in defeating the Philistines. Now, that might seem like a gloomy story for us. And we might wonder what we can learn from it and how we can apply it to ourselves. And if we're going to do that, I think we first have to ask, what would the people who first read Judges, when it was written down, learn from the life of Samson, from that story that we've read through? What would they have learned about a man who was chosen? Chosen from nothing. A man who was raised up and brought up from nowhere. A man who was set apart to the Lord. A man who, despite that being set apart, despite all the blessings that God had poured out onto him, played around with other lovers. A man who, despite rejecting the vows that God had called him to, expected to have the Lord there for him all of the time. Despite knowing the history and the pattern that had gone on in Judges. For the people who first read this, for the Jews, they would have seen a mirror. They would have seen the life of Samson and the life of their nation reflected in the life of Samson. Israel, the chosen nation, raised up from Abraham, raised up from slavery in Egypt, and set apart for the Lord. And richly blessed by being set apart for the Lord, having the laws of the Lord given to them. Yet through the stories of Judges, and even back in Exodus, we see them playing around with other gods and other lovers, but just expecting God to be at their beck and call. They would have seen themselves reflected in the life of Samson. And as we think about maybe how our lives are reflected in the life of Samson, that's why I asked Jason to read the story of the prodigal son earlier as well. Jesus did exactly the same thing. He took a story and used it to reflect on the life of the people who were hearing it and reading it. In Luke chapter 15, when we get to the prodigal son, the passage that we read didn't begin with who Jesus was talking to. At the start of Luke chapter 15, it's the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the ones who know the Old Testament inside out that Jesus is talking to. And it's then that he gives them this story where we can see Israel who've gone away and coming back, but also the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones who were supposed to be close to the Lord, the ones who are supposed to be close to God, who've forgotten their love for God. So, what can we learn? What can we learn from the story of Samson? Well, if you've never responded to God, if you've never responded, if you're searching, like we sang earlier, if you're looking for answers far and wide, and you think that your life is too far away from God for God to call you to him, for God to have those answers for you, have a look at the life of Samson, and I think you'll see that you're not. That God will take you from wherever you've been as long as you come to him. Just like that prodigal son, if you come to him and confess before him, if you come to him and say, yes, Father, I accept you. Yes, God, I accept Jesus. No matter where you've been, he will accept you. And for those of us who have responded, who have heard that call, who or what is your Delilah? Who or what is the thing that's nagging in your ear? Who or what is the thing that you're going to give into and turn away from God for? For some of us, it might be that we've given in and we've drifted. Know that you can come back to God. Know that God used Samson, despite everything that happened to him, despite all the vows that he'd given up on, there was a way back. Know that, like the older son who'd forgotten their love in that story of the prodigal son, there's a call there to come back to your love for God. And for the rest of us, for those of us who maybe haven't given in to that voice, haven't given in to our own Delilah, well, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, and I'd encourage you to read the whole of the first three chapters of Revelation. Read the letters that Jesus gives to the churches. Have a look and see if you can find yourself in there. See what your Delilah might be. But I'm going to read from the final one of these letters, verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's a warning there for us, isn't there? Not to let ourselves drift along. Not, as I'm so often guilty of, let it go days and weeks where we're neither hot nor cold for Jesus. That can so easily turn into our own Delilah, can't it? That we just drift. That we just let life go by. Instead, let's boil hot for Jesus. Let's look to invest in that refined gold that Jesus speaks of. And let us be rich. Let us look out for our love for God. And let us look out for each other's love for God, encouraging each other not to listen to our own Delilahs. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that despite what seems like a gloomy story there in the Old Testament, Lord, there's things that we can learn. And we thank you that even though Samson turned his back on all the vows that you'd set him apart for, you'd chosen for him, that even at the end of his life, you still had use for him, Lord. You still have things for him to do. Lord, just pray that either maybe we'd respond to you for the first time this morning. Or Lord, if we've responded and our Delilah has got in the way, that we've given in to that voice, Lord, that we'd repent, that we'd come back to you. Like the younger son in the story from Luke. And Lord, if we are going along with you, Lord, I pray that the older son would be a warning to us, that those verses from Revelation would encourage us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be hot for you, and not look at the seeming blessings, Lord, of others, but that we would just look to you and be satisfied with what you've given us, everything you've given us. Blessing and honor, strength and glory, and power be to you, the only one who is King. Amen.